This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Hello and welcome along to It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer. Darren's not here this week, I'm afraid, so I am standing in for him. My name is Joe Redmond, and of course I am joined by Carlton Palmer. Obviously, it does what it says on the tin, It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer. How are you doing, Carlton? You all right?
Yeah, very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, not too bad. Quite a lot to talk about this weekend then. Obviously, Leeds finally getting the win. Obviously, they've been off form a bit recently and a bit of pressure for Heckingbottom. So we'll get right into it. What did you make of the win at the weekend? Obviously, a big Yorkshire derby and against Heckingbottom's former side.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've said before, I think Paul came into a difficult situation there at the football club. And I think there's new owners come in and it's a difficult one. I've seen Leeds quite a lot this season, and earlier on, I didn't think the makeup of the team was right. And, you know, they're a good footballing side and they played some good football, but I fancied that they'd struggle and they went on to do that. And so it's very difficult when you come in as a manager inheriting a squad of players and then, you know, finding out that squad of players is not good enough. It's difficult because, you know, he's rotated the side, he's had a look at the players and he's got a new chairman. So hopefully the chairman's allowing him this season to have a look at what he's got and hopefully reshape the team, because they're going to struggle again next season with that squad of players they've got. That is a fact. So he's got to move some players out and move some players in. I don't know what this chairman's like, this one, but I know the previous chairman, he just wanted to be involved in everything. Players matters, players being brought in, players being sold. And that's a problem for a manager. But if you're a manager that signs under those terms, then you have to live by them.
Yeah, so it sounds like quite a big job in the summer. And to be fair, Heckingbottom, because I do go to the press conferences and speak to Heckingbottom myself, and he admits that it is a bit of a big job, isn't it? How many players do you think they're going to need to bring in? Do you think they'll need a whole new spine or just two or three players to add to the current squad?
Well, the makeup of the side isn't right. I mean, the previous manager wanted to play total football. I watched them. They came to play at Sheffield Wednesday and they got a right doing at Sheffield Wednesday. But if I'm being honest, they could have been 3 to 4 goals in the good. Even the second half when they came out, I think they hit the woodwork and the goalkeeper made a good save. So the balance of their side is they want to play football. But you're not going to get away with that in the Championship. The blueprint for the Championship has already been shown how to get promotion out of the Championship. All you've got to do is look at Sean Dyche, what he did at Burnley. That gives you the blueprint. Look at what Neil Warnock, who I think if he gets promoted this season, which I think they deserve to go up, I think this is his 8th promotion. So to get out of that division, you've got to have players who've got a robust, who can play week in, week out. You've got to have a little bit of technical ability and a little bit of brawn. You've got to have a mix of everything. And right now, I think Leeds have got a lot of technically good players, but not that mix of grit and determination that you need to get out of that division.
And a lot of youngsters coming into the squad as well in recent weeks for Leeds. Obviously, you've got Bailey in net, Paddy O'Connor in centre-back and Tom Pearce as well, well at full-back. Do you think that's another thing that they should be doing, bringing in some youth? Because obviously they've done really well. They just won the league at under-18s level. The under-23s are doing quite well as well.
Well, as I say, I don't know the remit under what Paul's taken the job. And if his remit is that he's under restraints from the manager in terms of players he can bring in and bring out, and he's got young players that are doing well, then I would stick him in. Because the only thing that's going to happen, if he's coming at the remit, he's not going to get the time. And so therefore, the only way is he's got to get results. And so why not try the young players if the senior players aren't doing it for you? I hope he gets the time. I hope he gets you know, the chance in the summer to reshape the squad. And, you know, they have got some very good players. It's just the balance of the side's not right.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Carl, and I think it'd be a stupid decision to let him go so soon, but that's just my opinion. Moving on, speaking of managers leaving, Arsene Wenger's announced that he will be leaving Arsenal after 22 years. I'm not an Arsenal fan, but I think looking at the fact that such a great manager is leaving a massive club, I think it's a bit of a sad day myself.
It really is. I think he's gone too early, in my opinion. But the fans now in football, the fans and to a certain degree the players have the power. And there were, you know, a lot of the fans were staying away from Arsenal. A lot of, he's faced a lot of criticism, and so I'm glad he's done what he's done, because he should be applauded and walked away rather than he gets sacked or be forced out and then people are talking, you know, negative about him. I think it's crazy. I think the Arsenal supporters are going to regret it. All they've got to do is look at the likes of Chelsea, Man United and Liverpool in recent years. You know, Chelsea have bankrolled the league for years. But even Abramovich money can't buy the league. So it's not guaranteed. It's only 3 years ago he finished second in the league. If they didn't have that season, taking nothing away from Leicester City, but when Leicester had 14 games to play, Arsenal still had 25 games to play that season. So it was always going to be difficult. But it's only, you know, 3 years ago they finished second. I think they delivered the FA Cup since there. I think they'll run very, very close to winning the Europa League this season, which I really hope they do, because then he leaves them in a Champions League spot, which he's only then missed out on a Champions League spot once, which is a phenomenal record. And and you can see what's already happened. I mean, the chairman's already come out and said there's only 50 million to spend in the summer.
Yeah, it's not a lot in the modern day, is it? Really? It's nothing.
But they run the club. But they run the club right. They run the club right. You can't afford to have Man City. He's got the backing of a country behind him. You know, with his wealth. You know, they can afford to have the two best players in every position and people sitting on the bench. They can afford that. But even Man City, and they have played some scintillating football this season, by a country mile, the best side in the Premier League. But they haven't delivered the Champions League, which if they were that good, they've gone out the FA Cup against Wigan. Wigan. And they've gone out against Liverpool in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, the money and spending money is not the right way. It's developing young players, getting young players to come through, doing what he's done with the likes of Thierry Henry, bringing him in for 11 million, selling him for 25 million. It's doing and running the club the right way. Now what will happen now, I guarantee you they'll have a director of football, which I believe was brought in anyhow recently, and a manager that will come in that will make the wages astronomical. And now all of a sudden, you know, the pressure's still on to deliver the league title. And I'm not saying they can't do it next season, right? But there's no guarantee.
You used Manchester United as a perfect example there. Obviously, after Fergie left, they've not won the league. They've struggled to get into the Champions League, mainly because they never really selected the right manager. Who do you think is the right fit for Arsenal now?
Well, unless you want to change the complete ethos of what Arsenal's been built on under Arsene Wenger for the last 22 years, you would have to bring a manager in of the same ilk. That's difficult. Because I'm telling you now, Arsene Wenger will be sought after this summer. There's clubs already, I believe you, me now, there's clubs, top clubs who've got managers in place who'll be looking and saying, do we make a change now to get Arsene Wenger in the summer? Trust me. So it's going to be very difficult for them to get. I mean, I know Simeone's been mentioned, and I do like the work that Simeone's done at Atletico Madrid, but it's a different style of play. It's a different style of play. So it's a very difficult one. For me, there's not a standout manager that you would pick. I would like to see somebody, and I know Arsene Wenger's put his name forward, like a Patrick Vieira or a Mikel Arteta. I'd like to see somebody who knows what the DNA is about Arsenal, and so that keeps on. And that might not mean win the league title next year, but what it will do is, if it was somebody like Patrick Vieira or Mikel Arteta, the fans would come back and give him the opportunity.
Just looking at the next manager odds, Patrick Vieira is fourth favourite. And there's Brendan Rodgers as well, he's third favourite. How do you think he'd do it if he went there?
I'm not a big fan of Brendan Rodgers. I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of it, he flatters to deceive.
Yeah.
I really do. I really do. I mean, I know he's held in high regard, but, you know, at the end of the day, Celtic isn't the hardest job in the world. There's only two teams up there, you know, in all fairness, Rangers and Celtic, and that's the way it's always been. But, you know, he always gets touted for, you know, all of these big jobs. And listen, their agents do a great job for them. I'm not a big fan of him, as I said. So, you know, I wouldn't be putting him in the top frame for that. I mean, people, you know, if they're looking for somebody who could deliver it and has a track record for delivering, well, there's Rafael Benitez at Newcastle, who's quietly gone about his work. And he hasn't had much mention this season, but he's done a fantastic job there. And why not, and I'll throw this out there, why don't Arsenal go for somebody like a Sean Dyche? Look at the job he's done there.
Yeah.
Why not give a manager like that an opportunity? Because he's proven that he can do it without money. He's proven it in the Championship. He's proven it now when they've got relegated from the Premier League. He's got them back. He's taken a process. He's built the football club. Right. And I think that's why Sean hasn't opted to leave so far, because he knows that what he's done there in building the training facilities, in developing the youth program there, he's done a fantastic job there. So why don't Arsenal look at somebody like Sean Dash? For me, why not?
You know what? I agree with you. I tend to be a bit reluctant as a Burnley fan to let him go. But I think mainly the style of play will probably put Arsenal off with that. But again, it's working with what he has. I know Dash works with what he has.
You say the style of play, you know, at the end of the day, you have to win football matches. His style of play is suited to Burnley because they're not the best team in the league.
Mm.
So you play. It's a bit like Everton. They've got a false turn talking about Sam Allardyce and the style of play. I heard it when he was at West Ham. Where, you know, the style of play, you can't go to Man City if you're not as good as Man City and play open football. You've got to restrict them and win football matches. Look at West Brom. West Brom have got relegated because they didn't like the style of play of Tony Pulis. Well, the one thing they would have done is they would have stayed in the Premier League.
Yeah.
End of story. If Tony Pulis was at West Brom, they would still be in the Premier League this season. So you've got to be very, very careful. We played in Leeds United. We had a side that was very attack-minded and a lot of flair players. But let me tell you, if we went to Arsenal, we would sit in our halfway, in our half, let them have the ball and hit them on the counter-attack. And we beat him. You know, you have to play horses for courses. So you can't turn round. You know, Everton, they're not the best team in the league. They've had a slump in recent years. And they're probably going to have the best finish they've had for a while, right, under Sam. And he will turn it round again. And he hasn't brought in a lot of players. And he hasn't had a pre-season and a full season with these players yet. But yet, they're in that position. And everybody's saying, oh, the style of play. The style of play. Yeah, I mean, Man United don't play flair football under Mourinho. He never did at Real Madrid. He never did it at Inter Milan, but he delivers the league title and he delivers Champions League. You've got to mix it up. I love to see attacking football, but if you come up against a side that is better than you, you can't do that. That doesn't mean that you can't beat them. And Burnley have proved that this season. You know, they've beat their record against the top sides is phenomenal because they've set out a game plan to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think another perfect example would be Southampton, obviously getting rid of Puel, and now they're looking like they're getting relegated. Anyway, moving on, just want to touch on the FA Cup semi-finals this weekend. A decent one, Man United-Tottenham to a certain extent, a bit more of a battle than Southampton-Chelsea was, but it sets up a nice FA Cup final. I think obviously there's a bit of bad blood, supposedly, between Mourinho and Conte. It'll certainly be a good game.
It will be a good game. It will be a good game. Listen, there's always a bit of... The Premier League managers are always under pressure. So without a shadow of a doubt, you know, Mourinho and Conte will have mutual respect for each other. They're both, you know, under pressure. I think Mourinho's not so much under pressure. I think his remit this season was to deliver Champions League football. He's going to do that. I think Man United will finish second.
Yeah.
And I think he'll finish off the season with his customary piece of silverware. I mean, people knock Mourinho. He's brilliant for the game. He's a brilliant manager and he's a brilliant you know, this is, we're in the entertainment business, and you can see that he's passionate about the game. Now, you've got managers who have and managers don't have. Mourinho has and always has at the clubs that he's been at, apart from probably Porto. And so the pressure is on Mourinho to deliver. So at times you can see he's under pressure, but he knows that he's given the tools to do his trade, and you know his job is to deliver. And trust me, they will be running it very close next year. It's normally second year, you know, Mourinho kicks on to win the league title. He'll be pushing on. So Chelsea, they've struggled this season after winning the league. Don't know why. Is Costa a big miss for them up front? He had that edge to him, didn't he? He had that edge in games where you need sometimes. We used to have a lad up front for us, Mark Bright, in games where it was a nothing game, where he would just create something, back in somebody, elbow somebody, always played on that edge a little bit, right? Which defenders hate playing against. And so even if he's having a bad game, he can create a chance for somebody else. But he also opens up the game. And I think Chelsea have missed that this season. That, you know, you forget how big a part somebody like Costa does play in winning a league title.
Yeah, I think obviously as well, European football, I think they might have struggled with being in both competitions as well, because obviously they weren't in there last season. So that might have something to do with it as well. But just going back to the cup final, I think you're predicting Manchester United to win it then?
Yes, I will. Yeah, I do. I think the likes... You know, I'm a big fan of the boy Pogba. He's a young boy, and he's going to get better. He's going to get better. The stage is set for him. It's a big pitch. It's a lovely pitch. He's got plenty of legs, plenty of energy. If he decides to turn up on the day and play, Man United win.
Yeah, I agree. When Pogba's on his game, he is fantastic. I totally agree. I actually went down to the semi-final at the weekend as well, and I thought United played really well. Moving on, I think Mo Salah, obviously getting the PFA Player of the Year award. Do you think it's deserved, or would you prefer it to go to De Bruyne?
Well, it was a close call. It was a close call. I mean, I think both players have been very instrumental in their season. I think you're hard-pressed to argue with Salah. You're hard-pressed.
Yeah,
but
totally agree.
Let me tell you, if it had gone to De Bruyne, you've got to say they've won the league, and he's been pretty phenomenal. But, you know, I think we all like a story like this, don't we? Salah comes from nowhere and has a season like this. It's great for young kids around the world. You know, hard work, desire, determination. And to see somebody like that deliver a season like that, it's a fairy tale story. And, that, you know, these things that happen inspire young kids around the world. So, I can't argue with Salah. I think he's had a fantastic season. His finishes have been sublime. And he should enjoy this season.
Do you think Liverpool will struggle to keep hold of him now in the summer? Or are they expecting to probably have another year with him, and then they might start to struggle like they did with Coutinho?
Well, a lot depends on the player, doesn't it? I mean, unfortunately, in this day and age now, with managers under pressure, they see somebody who delivers this season like he has. They think, well, can he have another season like that? Is it worth us having a pop at it? Problem is, if somebody starts getting into his head and starts talking about, I don't know what type of salary he's on, but I wouldn't have thought I would have thought he's around the 60 or 70,000 pound, might even be less than that. So if somebody starts talking about doubling his salary and whatever, it's very hard for these players to get their head turned. And, you know, the way they look at it now is it's a short career. And so once their head's turned, and unfortunately you've seen the table of how much these agents make, once the agent's thinking he's going to make another £3, £4, £5 million for moving a player on, then it's a major problem for the football club. But I'm sure Liverpool will look at the season he's had. He deserves a new contract. He deserves a pay rise. And maybe that would be good enough to keep him happy.
Why do you think he's done so well this season? Because it's by far and away the best season he's ever had as a player. And I'm sure when Liverpool brought him in, they didn't think he was going to do this well. Do you think it's the way that Liverpool play, how they just all out attack, and it suits him down to the ground?
Well, it's the way that Liverpool play, but also he's a fantastic coach, Jürgen. I mean, it's a bit like Sterling at Man City. He had that promise under Rodgers at Liverpool, but never quite delivered. And now you look at what he's doing under a coach like Pep. 16, 17 goals. Okay, don't get me wrong. He's maturing with age as well, right? But he's looking a complete player. And like Guardiola says, you know, if he carries on listening to him, he's going to put himself in that position where people might start putting him in the same class as a Messi or a Ronaldo. That's the type of game he's bringing to the table at the moment. So Salah has listened to Jurgen Klopp. I think the way that Liverpool play, you know, put it this way, if Ian Rush played in that team, he'd be on maybe 15, 20 goals more, right? They create a load of chances. He's got himself in the right place. At the right time, and don't get me wrong, some of his finishes have been outstanding. It's just been a fantastic season. But sometimes you have that. You look at Vardy at Leicester. He's not reproduced that again yet, has he? No. He hasn't reproduced it. Now you might say it's Leicester Football Club. Well, if that's the case, then he should have moved to go to a club that could have created those chances to put him in that position. That showed, for me, no disrespect to Leicester, that showed a lack of ambition. From Vardy's point, you go and test yourself. Go and play at the biggest club you can, on the biggest stage with better players. And if you're a good player, then you should then score more goals. So we'll have to see. He's had a fantastic season. And we'll have to see now. The proof is always in. Can he repeat it again next season? That's the thing. That's when you show that you're world class.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he can, wherever he is. I'm sure he'll still be at Liverpool, though, personally. Just looking down the leagues, obviously a bad weekend if you're a Sunderland fan, relegated to League One. I think it's sad times up on Wearside.
Well, it is. I mean, they're fantastic supporters over there, you know, Newcastle and Sunderland. They're passionate. And for the Sunderland supporters, I'm absolutely gutted. Two relegations in successive seasons. And I actually thought that Chris would keep them up. And, you know, the chairman's openly said he wants to rid the club. He'd give the club away if somebody takes over the debt. It's a massive club and it's sad to see. And I hope they stick with Chris because I think Chris is a very good manager. You know, as I say, it's very difficult for a manager when you go in and your hands are tied with the players that are there and whatever. I hope they stick with Chris and give him the opportunity because I think given a summer, given the chance that to reshape things, I think he could get them promoted next year. I really do. I think he's a good manager, and I think you have to look at all the circumstances that are around what's happening at the football club.
Yeah, I agree. I just think you have to look at what he did with Wales. It's been coming for a while, though. I mean, I don't think anybody expected Sunderland to drop this far, but it has been coming for a while, and obviously other clubs have done this, Leeds United being the obvious one, Blackburn Rovers, Bolton, and they all seem to bounce back. Do you expect Sunderland to be able to do that? Because it gives them a chance to get rid of some of the deadwood as well.
Well, it's not just get rid of the deadwood. Get rid of the deadwood and the high wage earners. That is your problem. That is your major problem. You know, because when you take over as a manager, like Cookie's taken over there, he can't do anything with these players. And these players, you've got to remember, if they're on 25, 30 grand a week and nobody else is prepared to pay the 25 or 30 grand a week, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think the perfect example is Rodwell as well with that one.
Yeah, and it's a major problem for you. They're not delivering on the pitch. You've got to play them and they're not going anywhere. So it's for a manager, it's so difficult. So, you know, as I say, I hope they stick with Cookie. You know, I think he's what he's done in the past shows that he's been a decent manager at Fulham with Wales and whatever. But when your hands are tied, when you go in a football club, I've been there when it's like that, there's very little you can do. There's very little to you. You've got to get to the summer and then reconstruct in the summer.
Certainly be interested to see how they get on. Moving the other way, Wigan Athletic back in the Championship. So that's good to see.
Yeah, absolutely delighted for Paul because, you know, I think they've had a fantastic season. I think they, you know, I was a bit worried with their cup exploits, whether that would impact on their priority of getting promotion. So I'm delighted for him. I'm delighted for the club and the way they've gone about it and bounced back after going out of the cup and put a string of results together in an impressive manner. Really delighted for them and delighted for the football club.
And it looks as though Blackburn will be following them as well, because I think the point gap's now pretty much too much for Shrewsbury to make up. So another big club trying to get their way back into the Championship. So that'll give Sunderland something to look forward to.
Brilliant. I think it's a brilliant achievement for the club, Blackburn. They lost their way, didn't they, for a few years. Yeah. And it takes time. You know, this Premier League is your biggest problem. It is a big problem. Because if you're not in that middle area of the Premier League or the top area and you get promoted, the problem is, what do you do in terms of the salaries? And if you start paying your 60 and 70 grand a week and then you get relegated and nobody wants those players, you have a major problem. You have a major problem. So it causes an hangover for a couple of seasons for you to get rid of those players off your books, because they'll either see the contract out or you'll pay them up, and then you can start reconstructing to come back. So like the likes of Blackburn I've done, like the likes of Wigan. You know, it's great to be in the Premier League, but, you know, you've got to get that balance. And this is what I like what Sean's done. If you look at what Sean Dyche has done at Burnley, he's not disrupted it. He's not brought in players on massive money. He let the striker go to Watford when he probably would have wanted to keep him, because he didn't want to put him on that much more money than everybody else, because it just creates a problem. It now comes a point now for Sean next season, that balancing act now of, yes, we've stabilised, you know, and it's going that next level of where you start paying that money, and that's when it becomes dangerous. Then when you're a manager, you've got to know when it's time to say, I've done what I've done, let me go somewhere else. And I think, I know Burnley supporters will be knocking me for saying this, but I think for Sean, I think at the end of this season, he'll have taken them as far as where he can take them. And I think he should now move on to the next step of his career, where he should be looking for the top six club.
You know what, as a Burnley fan, taking my journalist hat off now for a second and putting my claret hat on, I would tend to agree with you, but I just think now that the chances are it's looking like we'll be in the Europa League, apart from a massive collapse, I think, as a manager, I might be wrong, I would think that Sean would probably want to go on that journey with us, see how far he gets on, then maybe look at moving on.
Yeah, but that Europa League, you don't want to be in it. You don't want to be in it. That's going to... You've just brought out the fact about Chelsea. If you look at... apart from this season, Man City winning the league, the two teams have won it, or the three teams have won it prior, have not been in the Champions League. The Europa League is a distraction on a Thursday night, travelling to Russia and places like that. I know it's a great journey, but just go back, look at Fulham. Look at what happened to them. It's exactly... And it's so what I'm saying to Sean, he's done a brilliant job. If I was him now, I'd be sitting there now and see which one of these big clubs come and knock him for me. Do you know what I mean? And it might not be. It might be Southampton. You know, I think Southampton will probably stay with the Mark Hughes. But say it might be a Stoke who goes down, where he could go in there and do something with Stoke. But no disrespect to Stoke, I think Sean deserves a big job. I really do. I think he deserves... What he's done and the way he's gone about his business, he deserves somebody to have a gamble on him. Because it's all right saying his style of play, but who knows what he would deliver in the style of play if he had better players. No disrespect to the Burnley players.
Yeah, you know what? I tend to agree with you to an extent. The Europa League thing does worry me a little bit. Obviously, you use Fulham as an example. Other clubs have done it in the past as well. And on Sean Dyche as well, I do think, you know, he's a fantastic manager and he does deserve probably one of the, not the biggest job like the United's and things like that, but he does deserve a bigger job, definitely. And I think he will be England manager one day. We are coming towards the end of the podcast, though, unfortunately, Carlton. Is there anything you would like to add in before we go? Anything you'd like to speak about that you've seen?
No, well, I mean, obviously the big game tonight, we'll watch, I think Cardiff are two games away for promotion, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, think if Cardiff win today and Sunderland, I think Sunderland would have to beat Fulham. But, you know, I think it's in his hands. And what a fantastic achievement that will be about Neil Warnock. I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, but I don't go on what people say as a person. I know Neil personally, and he's a winner. And you see his passion, you see his desire. And that's what I like. When I see a manager like Neil, I look at him and I think he's somebody I could go and play for, because I know he's passionate about winning. And like he says, whatever his teams lacking ability, they make up in spirit. And you know, I think tonight, I think, you know, because there's been a little bit of needle, hasn't there, between Gary Rowett and Warnock about the cancelling of the previous fixture. I mean, listen, Neil knows gamemanship. At the end of the day, if you've got a few players out and you can get the game off, you get the game off. And he's done that plenty of times in the past. But I think there'll be a bit of needle there tonight. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, totally agree. Just looking at the league table now, Cardiff played 43, Fulham played 44, Cardiff on 86 points, Fulham on 85. So obviously a win tonight, like you say, will pretty much put them there. But as I said, we are coming towards the end of the show, so I'd just like to say thank you for joining us again, Carlton, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.